Okay, so there were three things that stuck out to me with this interview here with Nick Trefilis. First, how he went about deciding where to study abroad. He was honestly like a mad scientist, and it's really interesting and fun to hear his selection process. Second, you hear go abroad, meet new people, make new friends, and I'm always interested to see when people kind of go against the grain, but he actually did this with one of his really good friends. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think going back, I mean, it would have been nice to just take a semester with even more than one friend, like go with all your friends. So it's just another way of looking at it. Third, of all the people I've had on my show who have also studied abroad and had internships, he probably has the greatest understanding of his. And just listen to him when he describes it, when he talks about it, he knows exactly what's going on. And it doesn't sound like an internship he's describing. It sounds like this is actually his job, and he knows the inner workings of the company and the process and everything that happened. So I'm gonna turn it over to Nick. Have fun.
The three biggest reasons only 10% of students study abroad: they're afraid of being homesick, they don't think it's safe, and the number one reason people don't study abroad is cost. We're here to dispel all that. Find out exactly how that 10% crafted their study abroad journey and how you can too. I'm Chris Carlton, and this is the Study Abroadcast.
Hello, everyone. Chris Carlton here again, and this time I'm with Nick Trifilis from Butler University in Indiana. Nick, thank you very much for being here. Welcome to the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for giving me the chance to talk about my experience today.
Oh, you're very welcome. So you decided to study abroad in Italy, right? And where specifically in Italy did you go?
Yes, I chose to study in Italy, more specifically Trieste, which
Trieste.
is actually, yes, Trieste. It's the very northeastern point of Italy. So it's not in the boot. It is really close to Slovenia and Croatia. I could walk into Slovenia if I
Really?
wanted to just do a nice hour-long walk.
Do you remember off the top of your head like how many people lived in that town?
I'm not exactly sure how many lived in the town. It was a city in kind of like in a valley, so there was a nice beach and it was on the water. It wasn't overcrowded, but it was beautiful and it wasn't a huge tourist destination and had a lot of really neat history. So it made the space really unique and actually didn't even feel like Italy because of their really just inconsistent and sporadic history.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at it now. So this is kind of a thread that I've been talking about with recent interviews. And there's so many that I've found, and not just interviews, but just towns like this in Italy. And you guys should Google it if you're listening along. They're just beautiful towns, and I'd never heard of Trieste before I talked to you. And this, I mean, it's kind of like Venice here with the river, right? Going through.
That picture is a little fooling that you're looking at. I know exactly which one you're looking at. That is the main canal called the Grand Canal, and it does go through the center of the city. There's a lot of nice restaurants, a big, beautiful church at the end, and some great shops along it, but it's very short and the bridges are very low, so you can't drive boats under them. So that the canal isn't as impressive as I thought it would be, but overall the city was beautiful. And since it was originally a territory of Austria until World War II, it was built up and has a lot of Austrian architecture. So the buildings and a lot of the scenery is a lot different than other places in Italy.
Yeah, no, well, either way, I mean, it's on the beach and there's still other pictures of it, and it looks like they have the Four Seasons there too, is that right?
They do not
And
have a Four Seasons there.
it's I see people skating too.
Skating, ice skating? Yeah, and they have two ice rinks in the wintertime. I actually was
Oh,
able
so
to go
that's
ice skating.
so but it's not it doesn't get wintry there.
It does. It snowed, I believe, maybe just a light dusting once when I was there. I was there all the way until Christmas Eve.
Okay, interesting. Nice. No, yeah, I like just looking at the pictures when I get into the interviews. And so now, why did you decide Italy? Why did you pick there?
Well, I went with a friend. So a friend and I decided that we wanted to go abroad together, and she had actually never been out of the country. She'd only been on a plane once.
Okay.
So we really wanted to find a really great area for both of us. Mm-hmm. And we, believe it or not, we just took out pen and paper, each of us, and wrote down some countries that we would be interested in, and then compared lists. And if either of us had a country we definitely did not want to spend the majority of our time, we crossed it off. And we kept going back and forth until we narrowed it to about five countries. And then we did a lot of research on those countries to see what their main draws are, to see how accessible they are to other countries. It was really important to us to be in a place where you could travel easily,
mm-hmm.
and not have to spend the majority of your day trying to get to an airport or to a train station. And eventually we just came upon this little city that none of us had heard of and thought that we would give it a go. And it was actually the only school we applied to.
Okay. So like when you say getting to, so you're thinking about, I'm assuming, well, let me back up. How long were you there for?
We were there for about 97 days.
Okay, so you were, it was a summer?
It was a semester.
No,
it was
from 3 months. Okay, yeah. It was a semester. Fall or spring?
Fall.
Okay, so then I'm assuming you went to other countries in Europe while you were there?
Yes.
Okay, and so that's what factored into the decision? It's kind of like a central part in Europe?
Yes, in a place where there was an airport or train station close by where we could get to other countries.
That's really smart. Yeah, that's a good idea. And then, and then hopping back again to just, I mean, there are a ton of towns like this just throughout Europe, Australia. I mean, China, like Asia is a different animal, but you know what I'm talking about. There's so many. So, okay, so, and then you studied abroad. How did you go about doing this? Did you, you said you applied to the school. So was it an exchange program that you did?
Yes, we did a direct exchange. So actually a student from their university came to Butler and I went to Trieste. So we each just paid as if we were going to our home university, and then we just switched and lived where the other person would have lived that semester. We applied through a program called ICEP. Okay. Direct exchange, and they had a lot of great programs for us to search through and were really helpful throughout all of the process to make sure that we were able to get there and be able to apply appropriately.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. And then now when you went, did you apply for or receive any scholarships or grants?
I did not.
No? Okay. Did you even apply?
No.
Okay. It's just a simple trip. But I mean, you did the exchange, so it's not, I mean, it's just like your tuition and you're paying for the traveling.
Yes.
At that point.
So we got our current scholarships that we have at our home university.
So many,
so
okay.
Any scholarships.
So you already
had
a, so you already had a, what was your first scholarship for?
Academics.
Wow. Congratulations, Nick.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I tell. I talk about this on the blog a lot. Like, I feel like it's easier to get a study abroad scholarship than it is to get like a, just an academic scholarship or just things that more people are applying to, because like about a tenth of students study abroad, so the pool is a lot less. So you've got a higher chance of getting selected. But yeah, so you were all good with the exchange and your current scholarship. So yeah, why even bother with it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so now, you're in this central location, right? Tell me about where else were you able to go while you were in it, from Italy, I guess.
I am a very ambitious person and believe that you need to take every opportunity you can, so I hardly ever sit still. Oh. I was fortunate enough to go to 10 countries and 35 cities throughout my 97 days abroad.
10 countries and 35 cities. Wow. So that's basically every weekend almost, right?
Yes, and I didn't have classes on Tuesday, so sometimes I would just do small day trips. Since I was close to Croatia, sometimes I would just take a two-hour bus ride to a city in Croatia and explore it for the day and come back late at night. Same with Slovenia and some other small areas around us as well.
Yeah, okay, well, no. So before we get into that, can you tell me, like, what was your living situation like in Italy? Did you live with your friend? What were the classes like? Tell me, give me a day in the life in Trieste, is it? Trieste.
Trieste.
Yeah.
Okay, a day in the life. Well, we actually lived in a dorm. So mm-hmm. since we were American students, we had to apply apply for a visa. And because of that, we had to have housing before we applied. And the only housing we could get was a dorm. So we lived in the dorm, and it ended up being really nice. It was, we each had our own bedroom and we shared a bathroom. I did get to live with the friend that I went with, but that was after we had already been situated. She actually had just a strange event happen to her, which made her want to switch rooms. And she asked to come into the room that was open next to me. So we got to live together, which was really nice because we had a very similar schedule. We each took about 3 classes, and I had an internship as well. So I would wake up and I would get ready for the day, and I would get on a bus. The public transportation in Trieste was incredible. There were buses nonstop. They were always on time. And we would take a bus. Sometimes we'd have to transfer on another bus to get to class. The classes were really nice, and the environment was a lot more laid back than the American universities. Attendance actually wasn't required, so many people didn't even show up for classes.
Okay.
I did. A lot of the Americans showed up for classes because we were used to it and wanted to make sure we didn't fall behind. Uh-huh. But we would go to class, and then we would go back into the city for lunch, maybe go back for another class in the afternoon if we had one, and then we would head to our internship.
Okay.
And then at night we would go out, maybe get a drink, and then head back to the dorm.
Well, of course, yeah. What was the name of the school you were enrolled at?
The University of Trieste.
University of Trieste. Okay, and then you said you had an internship too?
Yes.
Wow, so what's your major and what were you doing for the internship?
I am an international business major, and this was actually my second abroad internship.
Oh, where was the first one?
Beijing, China.
Man, I gotta get you on for a round two with you, and you gotta tell me about Beijing. But we'll stick to Italy for now. That's actually happened before, where like I'll be talking to someone midway, and they're like, "Yeah, but I also went here, you know. Later, I went here before, and I'll try to like mix in Beijing's too far away, but like if you went to somewhere close, we could. But yeah, that's awesome. So international business, and it definitely fits the bill with you just Asia and Europe. So that's congratulations on that again too. That's amazing. And then what was the internship? What was it? And then where was it?
It was at the American Italian Association, or the American Corner. The name is interchangeable, and it was help ran by the American Embassy. And what it is it is basically an English school, and they have a variety of different classes, and they teach anywhere from mothers who are just having newborn babies or pregnant and want to learn how to teach their children English, or there are preschool, middle school, high school, and advanced level classes. I started off as a teacher's aide and then eventually was able to teach full classes on my own. And I also worked with refugees through a project called Integration into Society through Entrepreneurship, where I taught them business skills and looked over the products they were making and helped them on the social media accounts to market and find different areas around Italy or surrounding countries where they could sell some of their products, because they were master tailors. Mm-hmm. And the goal was to be able to capitalize on those skills and make it so they could have a successful livelihood in this new environment. And it was just really inspiring and eye-opening to be able to work with such diverse people, young kids, preschoolers, and then refugees, and just being able to talk with everyone and really being able to understand people's situations and learning from it.
Right. Okay. So, wow. So first of all, so backing up, going to the English teaching, like about how many, like if there are 10 people there, how many of them do you say speak English?
The students?
No, like just like in the town you're in, like where you were, like what percentage of people spoke English there?
From my understanding, I feel pretty comfortable saying that most people there have a pretty good grasp in English. However, some of the friends I met there, and even my friend that I went abroad with, they for some reason thought no one spoke English, but I never had any problem. People would always try. They were always putting forth the effort, and I would feel like at least 70% had a good grasp on English, if not more.
Okay. And then the second part of it, so you're working with tailors, like tailored suits, right?
No, they were making, so they would custom make teddy bears, like mini purses, wallets, makeup bags. Yeah.
Okay, so they're basically like small business owners, right?
The idea is we're trying to help them to become small business owners. So right now they're using the American Corners facility, and we're helping them gather product. All of the materials that they use are donated. So everything that they create is from a donated and recycled piece of fabric. And it started with a project called the Refugee Bear Project, which is super cool. And you can have a whole talk just about that project alone. But what they do is they make bears, and they can custom make them, and they're all different patterns. And they are just these beautiful items that sell for about 25 to 30 euros. And you can mix and match clothes, and they go to different markets. But yes, they are gearing up to be able to have their own business location. But right now they're working closely with the American Italian Association to get this done. And they're kind of working in a cohesive manner where it's just a very good environment for both parties involved.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds just like just hearing you talk about it, it sounds like you were very ensconced in it and knew exactly what was going on. And it, like, you got a lot out of it. I mean, if you were, you know, if you were in a job interview now and you could just rattle that off the way you did, that's pretty good. It's pretty impressive, I think.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So now we're at, and it's always a pleasant surprise when, again, you said you went to Beijing and then you're talking about your classes and then you go, yeah, and then I went to the internship. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know you went to an internship. You had an internship too? Tell me about that. So, yeah. Let's get into the 10 countries. Where all did you go when you were over there?
Okay, let's see if I can laundry list them just off the top of my head.
Yeah, 10's a lot to just remember. Yeah.
It was France, Germany, Poland, Hungary, Austria, Spain, Italy, Slovenia, Croatia. I'm missing one. I'm going to look at my notes real quick on, I have everything written down, so one moment, please.
Huh. I'm looking at the map of Europe.
Ireland.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so wait, you didn't get to England, but you went to Ireland?
We did not get to England. That was actually the one regret of the trip. Not regret, because it was a wonderful trip and I wouldn't have changed anything. I just wish we would have been more knowledgeable when we were in Paris. Paris was the first trip we did, and we were there for about 5 days. Mm-hmm. So we wish we would have known that you could have just easily took the tunnel from Paris into London.
Yeah. Yeah. And then is there another one that goes from Ireland to – there's not one that goes from Ireland. Like, how do you get from – I'm looking at the map. How do you get from Ireland to England then? I know you weren't there, but I wonder if they've got – is that, like, close enough for a ferry or – I don't know. But, sorry, I'm just kind of thinking out loud right now. So 10 is a lot, and I know you said England was your regret, but there are other places. Like, you could, I mean, I was just in New York for a conference, and you could live there your whole life and not get to see everywhere you wanted to in that one city, let alone an entire continent. So, but you were moving around a lot, and tell me what, is there like a story you want to share or anything that sticks out? There has to have been something crazy that happened along these 10 countries and 35 cities, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Something crazy that happened.
Well, funny story.
We were always on the go, so we'd wake up very early in the morning, get ready, and make sure we were out and about by breakfast time. So 9 at the latest, we were out, and we were always walking. We would walk about 12 to 18 miles a day.
Oh, my God.
And some of the craziest experiences we had with a new friend that I met there. Her and I and another friend went to Zagreb because we wanted to go to the Plitvice Lakes. And we had to take a bus to Zagreb, which is the capital of Croatia. And we had an Airbnb and had to be on the next bus in the morning at 5 a.m. to be able to take a 3-hour bus to the actual national park, to the Plitvice Lakes. And it was just really crazy having to just sleep for about 2 hours, wake up, and have to run to the bus station because we didn't know how to use the public transportation in this new city. So we actually ran for about 40 minutes from the Airbnb to back to the original bus station we were at to get onto another bus just for a day trip to the Cliff Ice Lakes. And then we're fortunate enough to be able to sleep on the bus. But when we got there, we really kind of felt the consequence of only sleeping for 2 hours. Luckily, I didn't have anything happen where anything was ever stolen or I hadn't missed any flights or anything. But yeah, it was just a lot of moments that at the time were really funny. And we felt like kind of like we were on The Amazing Race, running through with our Osprey backpacks completely filled through the city while everyone's turning their heads watching us.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, I'm going to ask you at the end too, but I ask everyone for a quote, and the one that kind of embodies a lot of good ones that I have on the podcast is that the journey's just important as the destination, if not more so. So it's just kind of like just being like just moving on a bus, on a plane, in a taxi, like somewhere. That's the exciting part, it sounds like.
It was exciting.
Okay. And then, so you were in Beijing already, but how this internship, I guess, how is it better? I mean, I think you kind of nailed it. Like, that's your major in a nutshell, that internship that you described. You feel pretty confident going forward now. And when do you plan to graduate, and what do you want to do after that?
My expected graduation date is May of 2020, so I still have roughly a year left of school. I'm a junior right now. And after I graduate, I've always been open to the opportunity of living abroad. I think you gain so much just from the experience of different cultures. And I think it's really great to be able to meet people that have different backgrounds as you. No matter where people come from, they always have had experiences that have taught them important life skills. And you can always learn from people, from gathering and asking them what their experiences have been and what they've learned from it. So I really think it's important to take your time and talk with people about the experiences and about the journeys they've had, because you never know how that can help you later in your life. So I've always wanted to be able to uproot and live in a foreign country. Right now, I'm not sure where that country would be, but I also am really fortunate where I love where I grew up and could be very happy living a life, working a career in the city I grew up in. So right now, it's still very up in the air. I like to think I'm young and that I still have plenty of time. Hopefully, I'm correct about that. But
yes,
I'm open to a lot of possibilities. And something that I think is really cool is that for every opportunity that I see come across me, I always jump out and reach for it. So I never know what I'm going to be doing next. And I'm hoping that one day soon there'll be an opportunity that presents itself that'll really push me forward into the next steps of my life.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's a great answer. Thank you. Jumping back then, one question I did miss that I probably should have asked you after the 10 places, but is there a certain food that you tried while you were over there that stuck out that was really good, or something that you missed from Trieste?
Trieste. Okay, not necessarily a food. I would say that the thing that stuck out the most is the classic drink of Trieste, and that is called an Aperol Spritz.
Okay.
And so I'm not a big drinker, so I will like to have a casual drink. And in Italy, right when we got there, from just walking around, we were so excited and just basically like lifted off the ground, just wondering what is all around, trying to explore. And we kept noticing no matter where we went, people were sitting outside with this orange drink, and it had ice in it, and it was like in a traditional wine glass. And it's just this orange drink that looked like it may have had a cut of fruit in it. And everyone was drinking them no matter where we went. I mean, you could not escape them. And I always told my friend, I was like, I want to try one of those drinks. And little did we know that that was actually the drink of Trieste and a drink of a lot of parts of Italy. And what it is it is soda water, so just carbonated water, Prosecco, carbonated wine, and Aperol. And they put an orange slice in it and some ice. And it is in a very acquired taste. Now, I don't know if it's just being completely immersed in the culture or what it is, but I grew to love it. The first one I had, I was like, ooh, I don't understand how this can be so popular. It's a very bitter drink, and they have some different variations of it that you can order if you want it to be even more bitter. But after a while, for some reason, your taste buds just kind of adapt to it, and then that's the drink you want. That's your drink of choice you want to have with dinner or when you're out with friends. So it eventually came to the point where that would be the only drink I would have while I was there. So that definitely is what stuck out to me the most. And I'm still on the hunt to see if I can find similar items here in the States.
Yeah. So wait, so when you say you didn't like it at first, am I getting that right? And then you eventually learned to love it, or did you like it right off the bat?
No, that's correct. I did not like it at first. And that was the same with everyone that I introduced the drink to. Our friends there that we made, the friend that I went with, no one liked it at first. But by the end of the trip, it was everyone's favorite drink they've had.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that. And then now moving into just a little personal section of the podcast. So first of all, tell me about, can you tell me a little bit about Butler University? And in case someone's listening there or outside of the country, tell me about going to school at Butler and why you chose to go there.
Butler's a great school. It is filled with really nice, genuine people, and it has a lot of opportunities it presents. Our school actually has a very high rate of people who study abroad, and that is the dominant reason why I chose Butler, because of the programs they have with other countries. Mm-hmm. About 1 in 4 students study abroad at Butler.
Oh, wow. That's a lot higher than the average.
Yes. And Butler is actually a small private school. It's just about double the size of my high school, so it wasn't going to be that much of a culture shock. It is also very close, about a 14-minute drive into the heart of Indianapolis's downtown, and it's in a safe neighborhood. It also has a lot of other great assets about it. It has an incredible business school, the Lacey School of Business. It has a great College of Education and other great programs as well. And it was the only school that I really could see myself growing and developing into who I wanted to be from all those that I sorted through.
Yeah. Awesome. No, it sounds like a terrific place. I think you're my second Butler interview on here. And the last student that did it too just did a terrific job of describing it and explaining why she went. So yeah, thank you for that. Now, do you have any personal book recommendations that you want to share with the audience?
Yes, I do, actually. I personally, to be upfront, I have not read it yet, but it is on my list of what to read. It was actually recommended to me by my best friend, my childhood best friend's grandmother, and it is called Beneath a Scarlet Sky. And it is actually it's a true story of a hero who lived in Trieste in the surrounding areas. And what he did was he was there during World War II, and he worked to, he was against the Nazi regime, and he actually would try to help people escape over the mountains. Again, Trieste is kind of in a valley, it's surrounded by the mountains, and he would help people escape over the mountains. So I just thought it was a really cool story that I'd really like to get into. And again, it's called Beneath a Scarlet Sky. It's a true story, and it's by Mark T. Sullivan.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like a great read. It sounds exciting. I know you weren't in, like, one piece of advice. I don't know if you're going to study abroad again. It sounds like you might within this last year, like go the summer or something. But if you ever, like, the girl, I forget who it was, but she said she tries to read a book that's set in wherever she is, if that makes sense. So if you were in Italy, read a book that's based in Italy, and so on.
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Yeah. So, and then any other recommendations as far as, like, an app or blog or podcast or website that you want to share?
If you are going to study in Europe, I think a very valuable site to know about is Ryanair.com, because they have really good affordable flights that when if you book in advance, you can get some flights for about 32 euros round trip. So I would say that is probably the best recommendation for those who want to spend their money wisely and still travel, because, for instance, Dublin, Ireland is very far from Trieste, Italy, and my friend and I only paid about 56 euros round trip to get there.
So now, especially in Europe, I've heard Skyscanner a lot. And was this better prices than Skyscanner then?
I'm unfamiliar with Skyscanner, so I cannot accurately.
Interesting. I've never heard of this one. I'm always curious about this stuff. That's why I ask. And then finally, what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about studying abroad and not sure if they wanted to go through with it? Like if you had a little brother or sister or something, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to, even if they had any concerns, to definitely just take the leap and do it. I think studying abroad is one of the most valuable experiences you can have in your life. Again, just meeting people that grew up in a completely different place from you, have different cultures, different traditions. I think it's just so valuable in you, even if it's rocky at first, because a lot of what happens with study abroad is people only talk about the glamour of it, and no one ever talks about the difficulty adjusting or how it is to make friends and what it's like to be in a country that doesn't speak your native language, but you adjust to it and you learn from it and it makes you stronger. And even if there are those nights when you're thinking, boy, I wish I was back at my home university, or boy, I wish I wouldn't have done this, in the end, you always look back and you wish that you just had a couple more days, couple more weeks, a couple more months, whatever it is, to enjoy that experience. And I just think I really would push anyone, no matter who they are, if I know them or if I don't know them, to really take the opportunity to study abroad and to just go into it open-minded, and any opportunity they see, take it.
Yeah, that's great. You're nailing these questions, Nick. Thank you. And I get, lastly, do you have a favorite quote you want to share?
A favorite quote I want to share, and it's something I like to take with me throughout my whole life, but I think it's especially helpful with study abroad. It is, if I were to solve a problem, I would spend 99% of my time identifying the problem and 1% solving it. And it is something that Albert Einstein said, and that is because while you're abroad, you're going to come up, there's going to be problems that confront you. You're going to have to adjust to a new school schedule. You're going to have to figure out how to eat. You're going to have to, sometimes you may miss a bus or a flight. And I think it's just really important that if you really take the time to analyze and nail down the problem in front of you, it'll make solving it so much easier. Sometimes people just know the problem, think they know it, and jump into it and spend tedious amount of time trying to solve an issue where they're just running in circles because they really haven't narrowly defined what that exact problem is.
Great. Yeah, that's a really good point. That is all I have. Is there anything else you want to add?
I would just like to say that if someone is trying to study abroad and is looking in the region or the surrounding region of Trieste or in Italy in general, to really give Trieste a chance. It is not widely known. It's filled with so much culture, being an Austrian port city to being lost in World War II and taken over by the United States, then to be handed to Italy. So there's just, in the last 100 years, there's been so much turnabout through it, and there's so much culture from the surrounding areas. There's a lot of Slovenian presence, and there's even what is, I think, is incredible, is there's these local restaurants, for lack of a better word, called osmitas, and the word is actually a Slovenian word, and it's where people just open up their homes and sell homemade wine and bread and meat and cheese. Everything they serve is homemade, and it's super cheap, and you get to go in these people's homes and really just, you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere because they're in the mountains and you have beautiful views of the water. And I think Trieste just has so much to offer, and it's not highly publicized or well known. So I would just say, please look into it and give it a chance, because it is a beautiful place in this world. And I think anybody, no matter who they are, can find value and find growth in this quaint city.
Yeah, let's put it on the map, huh?
Yes.
It all starts here with Nick's interview. Nick, thank you very much for doing this. You knocked it out of the park. Great interview. Guys, give me an honest review of the show. Let me know how I'm doing. Connect on social media for new interviews as always. Nick, thank you very much for doing this, and we'll see you maybe again for round two with Beijing, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chris, for this. This was incredible, and I really enjoy your podcast. And just thank you again. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to check out all the really neat infographics on the rest of the posts as well as the interviews. There's a lot of good information. You should also download Studying Abroad 201. I really recommend it if you need kind of a fire lit under your ass for studying abroad and you need some motivation. It crafts my journey and exactly what I did. Also, we can email you new interviews or you can connect with us on social media. All right, thanks a lot.